Our help is in the name of the Lord, who has made heaven and earth, who keepeth truth forever, and who never forsaketh the works of his own hands. Amen. Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God the Father and the Lord Jesus Christ, in communion with the Holy Ghost. Amen. Congregation, let us sing from Psalter 233, stanzas 1, 3, and 5. Bow down thy ear, O Lord, and hear, for I am poor and great my need. Preserve my soul, for thee I fear. O God, thy trusting servant heed. O God, thy trusting servant heed. 1, 3, and 5 of 233.
Thank you.
scripture reading for this afternoon hour can be found in the 97th Psalm, Psalm 97. But first we will make confession with the 12 articles of our Catholic undoubted Christian faith. I believe in God the Father, Almighty, Maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, His only begotten Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Ghost, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. He descended into hell. The third day He rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sitteth at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence He shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Ghost. I believe in Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Psalm 97. The Lord reigneth. Let the earth rejoice. Let the multitude of isles be glad thereof. Clouds and darkness are round about Him. Righteousness and judgment are the habitation of His throne. A fire goeth before Him and burneth up His enemies round about. His lightnings enlightened the world, and the earth saw and trembled. The hills melted like wax at the presence of the Lord, at the presence of the Lord of the whole earth. The heavens declare His righteousness, and all the people see His glory. Confounded be all they that serve graven images, and that boast themselves of idols. Worship Him, all ye gods. Zion heard and was glad, and the daughters of Judah rejoiced because of Thy judgments, O Lord. For Thou, Lord, art high above all the earth. Thou art exalted far above all gods. Ye that love the Lord, hate evil. He preserveth the souls of His saints. He delivereth them out of the hand of the wicked. Light is sown for the righteous, and gladness for the upright in heart. Rejoice in the Lord, ye righteous, and give thanks at the remembrance of His holiness. So far the reading of God's holy word. Let us try to pray and ask for the blessing and help of the Lord. Almighty, most high and eternal God of heaven and earth, we may read in Thy holy word who that Thou art, and before Thee we are all as nothing, and Thou art lifted up in Thy majesty, so that the hills do melt away at Thy presence. Oh, what shall it be for us to stand before Thee in that great judgment, that Thou may give to us also while we are here upon this world a true saving impression in our hearts, who that Thou art, that we may rightly humble ourselves, and that we may come before Thee with a rightful awe of Thy great and holy majesty. And we appear before Thee in Thy house of prayer, Lord, that can alone be through Thy only begotten Son, in whom Thou art well pleased, for we cannot appear before Thee in our deep fall in our father Adam. He has been sent away, He has been sent out, and so that curse that is lying upon each and every one of us also by nature, and we cannot do, O Lord, without the blessing. Oh, may it also be within the heart of each and every one of us, as it was in the heart of Thy servant, when he also could not miss the blessing, when he did seek that he may gain the birthright, but then it was in a way unlawful. Oh, it must come from Thee, Lord, and we must await Thy time. We must await Thy good pleasure, but we may seek it of Thee because Thou dost say it to us in Thy holy word. Oh, look on us, Lord, and give us the grace of supplications in Thy house and each one of us day by day in our secret chambers, that we may come rightly before Thee, but oh, that we could not let Thee go, except that Thou would bless us also and our children, and that Thou would have mercy upon us, which is from our side so undeserved. But it will be so to Thy glory when Thou wouldst from Thy side look upon us, and when Thou wouldst shed abroad upon us that mercy and that is possible only in and through Thy dear and beloved Son. Oh, look Thou upon Him. Could it please Thee in these moments, in this hour, that Thou may be pleased to eat something of that savory meat, and that Thou may bless us and our dear children, that Thou may command Thy Spirit to go forth, and that we may be filled with that Spirit in this afternoon hour, in the preaching of Thy Word, but also in the hearing of Thy Word, to make that word to penetrate our hard and stony hearts. Oh, look not upon us in our own iniquity, for then we must confess before Thee that Thou must cast us from Thy presence, that it may not be for the bringing of our own destruction, but when Thou hast, in the way of Thy good providence, brought us under the teaching of Thy truth, and that Thou hast sent Thine only begotten Son into this world. Lord, then we have sung it together, that when a man will confess before Thee, when he will beseech Thee, when he will ask it of Thee in truth, then Thou wilt also give it unto him. Lord, then we cannot but ask of Thee Thy blessing, that Thou may give it in spirit and in truth, a cry and a supplication from the inmost part of our hearts. Look Thou upon us in all the needs and the cares of this life. Remember Thou all those that do rule and reign within the countries in which we are living. O Lord, that Thou may remember, and as we have read also together, that also the gods might serve Thee, that the rulers might serve Thee, that those that are set in high places in this world might serve Thee,
that they may bow, that they may have ears to hear thee when thou speakest in thy holy word, that thy law also may speak in the days in which we are living, and that justice also may be done by all those who are in authority, that we also as a consistory may be diligent to do justice in the midst of the congregation, that there may be a holy awe for that place that thou hast given unto us, and that those may not be turned away from thy truth when justice is not carried out by those who are in authority. Lord, that thou may then look upon us and give to us that diligence and that faithfulness, but also the wisdom and the courage and the grace that is necessary to fill our task also when we hope to meet once again in the week that lies before us. Remember all congregations in a special way that are vacant. Lord, that thou may cause more servants to be called and to be thrust forth into the work of the ministry, that may go forth in the established, but also in those places where congregations are not yet established, that thou may look upon all that are ignorant in this world and have and never heard of thee. May it be also in the midst of our own nation, amongst the people amongst whom we dwell. Oh, and the ignorance is so very, very great. Wilt thou bless the efforts of those who do beseech our rulers to walk in accordance with thy holy word, that the petitions that may go from time to time to all of our governors may be sanctified and may be blessed. Wilt thou remember those who gather from time to time as a united nations? Lord, thou knowest how that Satan is sitting in the highest places in this world. Oh, that thou may break down his kingdom, and that thou may cause thy kingdom to prosper, and that thou may take away the might and the power of the evil one and all those who do labor for him, and that thou may give thy truth to prevail over the length and the breadth of the world. Look on all that are in the midst of warfare. Be with the soldiers from our own countries, whose lives are often in danger in places in this world. Wilt thou protect them and give them a place also of a refuge that they may find it when they are far from their loved ones? Lord, look thou upon all afflicted and sick and all that are in distress. Do remember all those that do suffer from addictions in this world. Wilt thou look upon children and parents all together, our school, and all the schools in the denomination? Bless the efforts of the boards that do labor for the welfare of our denominational schools and the entire congregation. Wilt thou remember also those who will meet in our sister denomination in the Netherlands, in the Senate that will come together? Oh, that thou may be in the midst of them, and that thou may grant thy blessing also and help in all the decisions that must be made, and that thou may remember us as a denomination in thy mercy, or that thy truth may prevail, O Lord, even when Satan does come against it, and that thou thyself may cause many to be born in Zion. Help us this afternoon. Oh, be on our right and on our left hand, and give to us the unction of thy Spirit. And may it be that a little word may take hold in this afternoon for this one or that one, that it may be profitable to be together for Jesus' sake. Amen. While your offering is being received, we'll sing from Psalter number 76, stanzas 1, 2, and 4. Now unto Jehovah, ye sons of the mighty, all glory and honor and dominion accord. Ascribe to him glory and render him honor in beauty of holiness. Worship the Lord. We announced that the last collection today is for the disaster fund, Psalter number 76, 1, 2, and 4. Congregation, while the Lord Jesus was with his disciples, then he has warned them
of all the things that were going to take place in the future. And that future, and that did appear unto those disciples to be very, very dark. The Lord Jesus said to them that he did send them forth as sheep in the midst of wolves, and that they were going to be delivered up to the councils, that they were going to be beaten in the synagogues, and that the brother was going to deliver the brother up unto death. The fathers, the sons, the children, they were going to speak against their parents and so on. They would be hated of all men for the sake of the Lord Jesus Christ. But at the same time, we read that the Lord Jesus consoled them, and that through all this, that they would not fear. That he said to them that their hairs, that they were numbered. In the world they should have tribulation, but they were not to fear, because he has overcome the world. Later on, then we read that the word of Christ that comes to the minister, to the angel of the church in Smyrna, and then he speaks of the things that they would suffer, tribulation, but he says, "Fear none of those things which thou shalt suffer. Behold, the devil shall cast some of you into prison, that you may be tried, and ye shall be a tribulation of 10 days. Be thou faithful unto death, and I will give thee a crown of life." Last week, then we spoke about the church militant. Lead us not into temptation. And then we have heard that that warfare that is going to continue even unto the last breath of the people, because the world continues, our flesh continues evil, Satan continues as the enemy of the true church of God. And yet, the Lord encourages his people. He encourages them in the warfare, in the closing of the prayer that he has taught them. And that, with the Lord's help, we wish to consider for a moment in this afternoon out of Lord's Day 52. Only question 128. Lord's Day 52, question 128. How dost thou conclude thy prayer? Answer, for thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. That is, all these we ask of thee, because thou, being our King and Almighty, art willing and able to give us all good. And all this we pray for, that thereby not we, but thy holy name may be glorified forever. So far, our Lord's Day, wherein we find the motive or the ground for confidence in prayer. First, that the kingdom is the Lord's. Second, that the power is the Lord's. And third, that the glory is the Lord's. The motive and ground of confidence in prayer. First, the kingdom is the Lord's. Second, the power is the Lord's. And third, the glory is the Lord's. In the very beginning of the Lord's Prayer, then the Lord has instructed His people in the address of prayer, Our Father which art in heaven. Thus, that is the acknowledgement of a child. In the very beginning of that request, and that has everything to do with all that is following after it, because everything that is to be asked of the people is to be asked as a child does seek it of his father. And now we have the conclusion. And we read something here very, very similar, how that conclusion to the Lord's Prayer that has everything to do, that has to do with everything that has preceded it in the Lord's Prayer. Thus, in the end, we find that the Lord Jesus, He gives His church the foundation of all of those requests that He has instructed His people to pray, the reason that they ought to ask for it, the purpose that they might receive it, what is now the basis upon which all of these requests do lie. And therefore, He begins with the word for. For thine is the kingdom, thus referring to all that comes before it. There is only one reason that prayer ought to be prayed by the church of God. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory. By nature, we want nothing to do with God's kingdom. Because by nature, we want to set up our own kingdom. That is the kingdom upon which I do sit upon the throne. And that I make all the decisions, and that everyone has only to listen to me. Thus that I may work independently of my maker, of my creator. That is what our father Adam has chosen, and that is what you and I do choose and desire every day of our life. Therefore, we call our lands, we read, after our own names, each one of us wishing to establish in the world our own name. All that we say, all that we do, all that we are asking for, that has one purpose, that we may serve ourselves as the king. That is why we ask for food. We ask the Lord to give to us health and strength and wisdom, that we may establish our own kingdom and ourself upon the throne in this world. But there is now also a new desire, that there is also a new purpose, and that is born in the heart of God's true church. We find that in the heart of Mephibosheth, when the king did return to his place, then, boys and girls, what did Mephibosheth say when David says, Thou and Ziba divide the land? Then he said, Let him take everything. Let him have everything. Why? I am so glad. I am so glad, David, that thou art come again. And that thou art come, that thou mayst sit again on the throne of that kingdom. There is now a picture of what is laying in the heart of the true church. A church that has begun to look for the welfare and the establishment of the kingdom of God. That is a whole new purpose. That is a new love. That is a new life. That is a new desire which did not live in their heart before. And it is love to God, love to that people of God, that that whole church of God may flourish, and that the kingdom of God that may increase. Thus, we may ask ourselves also this day, no, then we do not say that that desire for self and that self-kingdom will be destroyed, but whether or not there is something. There is something in our heart that may now in this afternoon recognize that desire of God's true church. From where do God's people receive this love? They receive love to God from the Lord Himself. This is what the Lord says: we love Him because He first loved us. And it is from that same place that they do receive an interest and a desire and a love for the kingdom of God, that it is planted within their heart. Thus it becomes a people that begin to sigh and to cry for what? For the abominations that are done in the land. You say, why is it that the people, they sigh after and because of other men's sins? Ought they not only to be looking upon themselves? Well, that is not because they desire to cast ignominy and reproach against other men, but it is out of a desire and a love for that kingdom of God. Then it is not only the sins of my own heart and the sins of my own life, but there is also a church that is declaring the truth as they may believe it in their heart. And then there is a world that does see all the iniquity and the sin and the cleaving unto the world and the inconsistencies of that church. And then there is grief within their heart. Why? Because the world begins to mock with God and with His kingdom. And so that people, they are given a supplication, they are given a prayer, they are given a grief. My eye runneth down with water because they keep not thy law. O Lord, that thou may give, and that that church may walk in all righteousness, that it may walk in all truth, and that thy kingdom may indeed be established, that thy kingdom may come in this world. Thus, they receive a motive for their supplication. Thus, we need not only a supplication, we need not only a prayer, but a prayer has to have a foundation, a prayer has to have a motive. And the Lord does not instruct His people only in what to pray, but also what is that foundation upon which they must ground their supplication if they would be heard by the God of truth. And that church that receives from the Lord a very, very strong pleading ground. And what is that pleading ground? We read that it is because God is willing. Because it is His own kingdom,
that he himself is setting up, that the Lord is willing to do it for his own kingdom. Thus, it is a people, as it were, that do learn to come on the side of God himself when they may plead all the needs and the desires of their heart before the Lord. A very powerful pleading ground, because it is pleading on the good pleasure of God himself. Their purpose, that is a purpose that is united unto the very purpose of the Lord. And therefore, our instructors, they say, all this we ask of thee, because thou, being our king, art willing. Christ has made it very clear that God, the Father of his church, is willing to give his people everything that they need, both for the body and for the soul. So the Lord Jesus said to them, if God so clothe the grass of the field, which today is and tomorrow it is cast in the oven, how much more shall he not clothe you, O ye of little faith? Thus, Christ teaches his children to make a ground for their supplications out of the interest of God in his church. His own interest. To say, O Lord, hast thou not from eternity loved a people? Loved with an everlasting love, from everlasting to everlasting, an unchangeable love, then to set before the Lord his own covenant that he himself was willing to make, the oath which he has sworn in eternity, already in that council of peace. Because Christ, he knows that the Lord cannot hear for our sakes, but when he may instruct his children to pray for the sake of what God himself is willing to do, then they will receive an answer. Lord, thou hast made a covenant. Lord, thou hast fulfilled that covenant. Lord, thou hast sent thine only begotten Son. Oh, thou wast willing even to come to leave the place of thy glory. All that the Lord was pleased to do in the denying of himself. To set before the Lord, as it were, his own interest as the motive and the ground that the Lord might hear our supplications. To say, Lord, thou hast given a promise, and thou hast promised thine own Son an inheritance. For, Lord, it is not our kingdom, no, it is thy kingdom. And thou wilt give a people unto thy only begotten Son. To say, Lord, thou dost send thy Holy Spirit. Oh, thou hast given that men may be inspired to give thy word. Why? Because it is thy kingdom. Oh, thou didst it that thy kingdom may be built up. Thou didst it that men might hear. Oh, we also do hear Sabbath after Sabbath day. Oh, thou sendest thy own Spirit to bless, to sanctify that work of the mediator. Thou sendest him as a sharp two-edged sword to pierce to the dividing asunder of the soul and the spirit. Oh, the work of the Father, the work of the Son, the work of the Holy Spirit, because it is not our kingdom, but because it is thy kingdom. the faithfulness of God, that he will indeed never forsake the work of his own hands and his own kingdom. When he cannot do it for our own sake, oh, then he will do it for his own name's sake. Therefore, Moses, he also pleads on this ground. When Israel has sinned, and the Lord, he will come with his judgments. And Moses, he says unto the Lord, O Lord, what wilt thou do to thy great name? Why doth thy anger burn against thy people? What are all the nations of the world going to say? Lord, it is thy kingdom.
But not only is he willing, because it is his kingdom, and therefore this a very powerful pleading ground that the Lord gives unto his church, but he is also able. That is our second thought. For thine is the kingdom, therefore he is willing. And the power. There is great power in this world. Boys and girls, young people, the prime minister, the president of a country, a king, these are men of very, very great power. They have a great position in this world. And yet, when we may read God's word of the kings even, and when we may know a little what takes place in our government, then we see that he is limited in his power. Then he does not govern all by himself. Cannot do everything that he just wants to, that he pleases to do. Because there are also those who govern with him. So it is possible that with all of his position, that he is willing, but he does not have the power. He is not able to carry out his own will. And that is not so with the Lord. In the kingdom of God, why not? Because he is not merely powerful, but because he is almighty. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. That is, all these we ask of thee, because thou, being our King and Almighty, art willing and able to give us all good. Is that congregation not a great comfort? Is that not a great comfort to God's people? Who are God's people? What do we read in God's word? We read they are an afflicted and a poor people. We can read who they are. They are the lame and the blind and the deaf and the dumb. All people who have no what? No what? They have no power. Thus, is it not a great comfort for the people that the Lord is not only mighty, but that he is almighty? When the very mark of the church is, what do we read? That God hath chosen the weak things of this world. Thus, if they are weak, what do they need? They need might. They need power. They need a mighty God, an almighty God. For what? To provide for them every need that we have heard now in the weeks that are gone by in a prayer that Christ has taught his church for the natural things, but also and especially for the spiritual things. Why did David pray? He asked, Lord, unite my heart to fear thy name. Unite it to fear thy name. Say, was not David's heart united to fear the name of the Lord? Ask God's true people if they are not so glad by moments that that supplication is written in the Word of God. O a people who are without power. O David felt that struggle. David felt that warfare. David felt and experienced the weakness in that warfare that he cannot stand for one moment. O Lord, unite my heart to fear thy name. What did the Lord Jesus teach his people to pray? Hallowed be thy name. But who is able, even as our instructors do explain it, to rightly know God and sanctify and praise him? Who is able to direct their whole life, as our fathers say, our thoughts, our words, our deeds, that his name would never be blasphemed, but rather honored and praised on their account? What does Paul say? He says, the heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it? Is that your experience? Thus, how does the Lord encourage his people? Or he encourages his people to consider, to meditate, to look unto the power not of themselves, but the power, the almighty power of God. And to say, O Lord, for thine is the power. O Lord, thou art able to bring my heart into obedience. The disciples, they are going to be used as weak instruments in the hand of the Lord. For what? For the coming of God's kingdom. But in themselves, they are powerless. They are small in knowledge. They are very weak in faith. Did that stand in the way? No. And why did it not stand in the way? Whose kingdom was it? It was not their kingdom, but it was God's kingdom. And therefore, God was willing. And not only was he willing because it was his kingdom, but he also was almighty. And he is much stronger than that strong man armed that is keeping his palace. The kingdom of Satan, who would not have the kingdom of God to be built up. He has his own will. It is against the will of God. He is also powerful. He is also very, very mighty. But he is not almighty. And thine, O God, is the kingdom, but also the power. The power to break down all of the strongholds of Satan, so that Satan has just to let them go. For thine is the power. What did we consider? What was the supplication that God's church, they are taught to pray, Lord, thy will be done. Thy will be done. How is it? What did our instructor say? What was the meaning? That we would
renounce our own will, and without murmuring, obey thy will, which is only good. Is that something that lies in our power? Did you ever seek to do that, congregation, to renounce your own will? Is not the heart of God's people mostly as Jonah? He also had his own will. And when it did not go according to his will, then he has sought to flee from the presence of the Lord. Oh, how strong. How strong, very, very strong is the will of man. So that he says himself unto God, I do well to be angry. Now we ask the Lord, Lord, thy will be done. Oh, teach me to renounce my own will. That is hard. How does it go? Are you now able to renounce your own will when God's will that manifestly comes against your own will? Therefore, the Lord Jesus, He encourages His church to pray, to meditate, to consider. Not my power to renounce my will, but, Lord, for thine is the power. Oh, when thou wilt give me grace, then I shall come so low that I may be a willing subject of the King of Kings. Lord, thine is the power. Thou art able to make me a willing person in the day of thy power. Is that not the only comfort that he is able time and again to bring a person into this place? Thy will be done. For thine is the power. What have we considered? Give us this day our daily bread. Have you the power? Often we think so. It is our own diligence by which the crop that is brought in. But let the Lord only withhold his hand for a moment. And then we will find out that we are without power. So we can read how that during the war, some of God's children in the Netherlands, they may experience even for those providential things, the power of God, that the very rats of the field, they are bringing potatoes to God's children. Or, for thine is the power. When a man comes in true need, that means that he cannot help himself. That means that he is without power. Otherwise, we are not in need. And then that comfort. And then that hope. And then that expectation. Then the prayer, then the cry. O Lord, thine is the kingdom. O Lord, thine is the power. And what have we considered? What must we then say about the forgiveness of sins? Even the Pharisees, they did say, who can forgive sins but God alone? Who can do that? Is it not an almighty power of God that is necessary? But what did the Lord Jesus say? He said, that ye may know that the Son of Man hath power on earth to forgive sins. Thus, not only willing, because thine is the kingdom,
but also the strength is His to accomplish it, and the power. And finally, who is able to make or to keep themselves pure? Because it is not only a justification that we need, but it is also a sanctification. It is also a washing. And who is now able to wash away that filth and the corruption of our natural heart? That pollution which is dwelling in the heart of man, so that he is wounds and bruises and putrefying sores from the sole of the foot to the crown of the head. No might against that great company of sin that comes against him. And therefore, there is but one consolation for that people. Oh, David says, Lord, turn away mine eyes from beholding vanity. Set a watch, O Lord, before my mouth. O keep thou the door of my lips. Why? Because thine is the kingdom and the power. Let us sing. 386, 1, 3, and 4. O Lord, make haste to hear my cry. To thee I call, on thee rely. Incline to me a gracious ear, and when I call, in mercy hear. 1, 3, and 4 of Psalter 386. And all this we pray for, and that thereby not we, but thy holy name may be glorified forever. That is our third thought. The glory is the Lord's. There should be no other end. There should be no other purpose to prayer in the end than to glorify and to magnify the name of God. That is now the final end of the church of God. That is the reason that that church will exist to a never-ending eternity. And when it is right in their life, all then their affections, they will be set on things above and not on the things on the earth. And for this purpose, they ought to ask both for natural blessings and for spiritual blessings. This part of the prayer, on the very end of the prayer, for the glory of God, that is now that one part of this entire prayer that is never going to cease. That is going to go on to all eternity. Blessing and honor and glory and power be unto him that sitteth upon the throne and unto the Lamb. The rest, all that all belongs to the spiritual and to the natural needs of the time. And that soon will not be necessary for that church anymore. But this part will continue. For thine is the glory forever. That is a glory, congregation, that is very, very great. He dwells in the light we read. No man is able to approach unto that light. We read that he covers himself with light as with a garment. But not only is the glory of God so very, very great, but that glory is going to become the object of the praise of his creature. That glory is going to be admired in all of his saints. Paul writes to Timothy, "Now unto the King, eternal, immortal, invisible, the only wise God, be honor and glory forever and ever. Amen." And with that, the church learns to agree. Ethan, for who in the heaven can be compared unto the Lord? Who among the sons of the mighty can be likened unto the Lord? God is greatly to be feared in the assembly of the saints and to be had in reverence of all them that are about him. O God, jealous of his own honor, saying that he will not give his honor unto another, but he is in all things going to bring that glory unto his own holy name. And what obscures the glory of God more than sin? What did the Lord say to David? You have given cause for the enemies of the Lord to blaspheme. Oh, what obscures the glory of God more than sin? But what brings more glory to God than the forgiveness of sin? Than the deliverance from sin? Oh, God, he is going to magnify himself. He is going to glorify himself in his own creature, in his rebellious creature. He is going to magnify his glory. in his Sauls, in his Manassehs, in the publicans, and in sinners, so that with David they will say, he hath taken me out of that horrible pit, and he has put that new song into my mouth, and those learn to sing. Not unto us, not unto us, but unto thy name give glory. And for thine is the glory forever. The congregation, has the Lord changed? Is it not still his kingdom? Has he not still those that he is going to bring in unto his kingdom, even unto the end of the world? Those that will still be converted. Those that will still be regenerated. You say, I cannot convert myself. No, that is true. And we have heard that that does not take away the responsibility of any one of us. No, cannot convert ourselves. And it doesn't take away a responsibility. Has that now become your burden? Is there then nowhere to go? What does the Lord say now? What does he speak of now? In the end of this prayer, does he not still give a reason that we may bend our knees when we have an unconverted heart? That we may say, oh Lord, I cannot convert myself, but thine is the kingdom. Thine is the power. Oh, you say, I believe the Lord is able to convert me. But is the Lord willing to convert me? Congregation, we cannot enter into the secret will of God, but when we ask if the Lord is willing, then one thing that we may say, that the Lord is willing to build up his kingdom. He is willing. This is his work from eternity. How much he has not done, so that his kingdom may be built up. He is glorifying himself in the conversion of sinners. Would he then not be willing? Or is there not something now to lay before the Lord? And to say, O Lord, wilt thou also convert me? Wilt thou convert me that thy kingdom may be established? That thy great power may be seen? Then all the church and all the world may have seen how this man, he has gone so many years with such a hard heart. Oh, the power of thee, Lord, that will be made so evident in the midst of the congregation, in the midst of the community, in the midst of this world. And, oh, thou wilt receive thy glory in it. The Lord makes this to be uppermost in the life of his people. No, it is not true that God's children come to a point that they want to go lost.
Never believe it. It isn't true. But there was a centurion. He said, Lord, I am not worthy that thou shouldest come under my roof. There was a disciple of the Lord Jesus. He said, Lord, depart from me, because I am an evil man. Oh, that glory of God indeed becomes uppermost in the life of that people. And then how does such a person become? They become just like clay. Oh, the Lord, he can do anything with me because I am unworthy. And then a supplication. A supplication from the heart of one who does lay in the bottom of that pit and who does not deserve that the Lord would ever look upon him. O God, be merciful to me, a sinner. People of the Lord, what did the Lord Jesus say? He said, it is your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. So it is. There is nothing that can injure that church of God. There is nothing that can hinder God in his purpose to bring in his kingdom. Why not? Because it is his kingdom, because it is his power, because it has to do with his glory, and he will give it to no one. He will chastise his church, yes, but everything that will work together for good to them that love God. Is it never a wonder that the Lord was willing to look upon such as you are? What did Jacob say? He said, I am not worthy of all of the mercies and of all of the truth, the faithfulness that thou hast shown unto thy servant. Is it not a wonder that his was the power? Because was there not a time when you thought perhaps there was not sufficient power to forgive or to cleanse such a one as I? And yet the Lord has opened your eyes to see something of that lamb, that roasted lamb upon those bitter herbs, and that you may taste and see that the Lord is good, and that his grace that has so superabounded all of your sin. Who then may receive all the glory in that moment, in your heart? Who then may receive all the glory? Who received it from the blind and the lame and the deaf and the dumb? Who received it? They did not receive it, no. But he received it. Therefore, that people, they will not do a strange work. One day in heaven. It is a work that they begin to do on the earth with all the desire of their heart. And that by moments, when this world is felt to be a burden, because unfortunately it is not always so,
But by moments when this world is felt to be a burden, then they desire to be rid of it. Then they desire that the glory of God, oh, that it may be exalted to the highest. And so it will be. So it will be, because His is the kingdom, His is the power, and His is the glory. And until then, oh, may you receive comfort. May you receive hope. May you receive expectation and in your supplications. When everything is undeserved, when everything from your side is so impossible, that you may be given to rest on those grounds that the Lord Himself gives His church to rest upon. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory. It is His cause. He can do it, He says, and I will do it, despite you. And that is now the way that the kingdom of heaven suffereth violence, and the violent take it by force. That man does not let the Lord go until that He blesses them. Oh, is that now? Is that now your life? Amen. Oh, Lord, a few words, but precious is Thy word, and all that Thou hast instructed us to pray. Lord, it is Thy kingdom. It is Thy power. It is Thy glory. When Thou wouldst convert every one of us, when Thou wouldst stop us in our mad career, then Thy name will be glorified. Thou hast instructed us so to look unto Thee. Oh, we beseech it of Thee then, when Thou hast so taught us, that Thou may bring it in our hearts, that we may go with this foundation on our knees in our secret chambers, and that we may never, never let Thee go, except that we receive the blessing that we cannot miss. Forgive our many sins. Crown Thy word with Thy blessing. Help us in the week to come, each one in our place in this world. Remember the children and teachers in school. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. 444, stanzas 1 and 5. Oh, bless the Lord, my soul, with all Thy power. Exalt the God who is Thy strength and tower. Let all within me bless His holy name. 1 and 5 of Psalter 444. Receive the blessing of the Lord and go in peace. The Lord bless thee and keep thee. The Lord make his face shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. The Lord lift up his countenance upon thee and give thee peace. Amen. Blessings.